If you have not got, can we throw some house lights on, everybody? If you have not done your exercise this morning, you'll be seated and standing and seated and standing a couple times. We figured we'd make it a little bit different, keep it interesting the last Sunday of the year. How many are glad the year's done? How many are glad the year's, come on, we got a new year? Come on, everybody. So we'll see some new people coming in the church, or people that are late this morning. We'll give them a big hand clap when they come in. And we'll, no shame. We've been thinking about this day, and trust that the day is momentous for all of us. We'll receive communion after a while, and we'll do a couple things this morning. We talked about it'll be a time to remember and be a time to anticipate. Those two things I want you to be thinking about all day. Remembering, so let's talk about it. There'll be some help and some cues on the screen for us this morning. Let's remember what He did. Let's remember what God's done for us this past year. Remembering what He did. So I want you to actively call to your mind. That's what it means. What did God do for you this year? I'm sure most of us lean towards what didn't happen, what you still need. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what did God do for you this year? Where did He show up in your life? What did He do for you in your body? What peace did He bring to your mind? What battle did He get you through, get you over? Come on, everybody. Come on, I got one senior saint over here shouting already. Come on. Come on, what'd he do for you? We want to remember. The word remember means that I actively call to mind. I actively call to mind what He did for me. So during our time, we're gonna have like three different times to have a praise and worship break. And what we do not want you to do is just to sing aimlessly, like you're humming along with the radio. But when I praise God, I'm gonna remember what He did. Come on, I'm gonna actively call to my mind what He did. I'm gonna praise and thank Him for that. But then also, I'm going to, and I hope you will too, I'm gonna anticipate what He will do. Come on, there's some things in my life and your life that haven't happened yet. Come on, right, everybody? This is the tension we live in. So we're remembering thanking Him, but we're anticipating some things we haven't seen yet, that we're anticipating those be met in 2025. Come on, anybody like that today? So just again, just to kind of give us some word pictures, what are you wanting? What are you needing? What are you looking forward to that He'll do in 2025? What are you wanting? What are you needing? What are you looking forward to? And so what do you do with that? Nothing? What do you do with that when you're anticipating? The Bible says you thank Him and praise Him for that. Come on, everybody. You thank Him and praise Him for what He did, and you thank Him and praise Him for what He hasn't done yet. Because you're expecting Him to do that. Come on, everybody, help me out this morning. We said this for a couple weeks, that our hope, our trust, and our confidence are in a person, not in an outcome. I'll praise you if this happens. What kind of Christian are you? I'm gonna praise the person, Jesus Christ, because you are good and you do good. Come on, everybody, you watch over the word and you perform it for me. You're faithful, you're reliable, you're dependable, you're trustworthy. You can't lie. You're true to the covenant. You're a covenant-keeping God. So we said this, that hope is wholehearted, evidence-based conviction. that God is making your future better. Come on, everybody. Finish it, will you? Than your past or your present. I've got hope. Evidence-based conviction. If I can see you've done it in the Word, you've done it for me in the past, you're going to do it again. Come on, church. You're going to do it again. Listen to me. If you haven't got it quite yet, there's power in remembering. Come on, there's power in remembering. Listen, over and over and over. I know I'm preaching it to you before we start worshiping, but come on, listen to me. Over and over and over in the Old Testament, one of the things that God came to the nation of Israel and he pinned their ears back continually was they forgot what he did. And he would say, remember, remember, remember the miracles, the 10 plagues, remember the Red Sea. And 3 days late, 3 days later, they're crying out to God that there's nothing to eat. Could have had the biggest ring. Your husband could have got you the biggest diamond at Christmas a few days ago, and you're complaining you got an old car today because you forget. I forget. Praise and worship has the power to cause us to remember if you let it. Come on, everybody. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will. Come on, read it out with me. Will you do it? Psalm 77, 11. We got it back there, team? Here we go. Come on, read it with me. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Come on, I will remember. Come on, say it with me. I will remember. This all sums up in just this thought right here, the power of gratitude. It's just the power of gratitude. The power of gratitude. Gratitude shifts your focus from what's missing to what's already here. Not that I don't have, but look at what I do have. Come on, everybody. There are people begging right now to have what you have. So we're just going to turn that and say, I'm flipping the script. I'm going to thank you, Lord God. I'm going to be grateful for what I do have right in my life. I'm going to remember what you've done. I'm going to praise you for what you're going to do. Come on, I'm grateful, every. Come on, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Come on, are you grateful today? Come on, are you grateful today? Come on, you got some breath in your body. You got some strength in your body. You got a sound mind today. Come on, everybody. God's good. Come on, God's good. Come on, church, he's good. Come on, he's good. Come on, just naturally. Naturally, the doctors tell us that gratitude builds mental health. It actually builds mental health. Gratitude, they say, build stronger relationships. You want to have a better marriage and a better relationship with your kids? Be grateful this year. Be grateful. Come on, be grateful. They say that being just gracious and having gratitude in your heart, it reduces stress. And just listen to me, it builds overall mental health and mental strength in your body. Listen to me, it's better than yoga. It's better than green juice. Come on, everybody. It's better than going to the gym. Just be grateful. Just be grateful. Come on, stand, will you? Look on the screen. Let's read Psalm 100 together before we worship. This is going to be your first worship set in a moment. And we're going to praise God. But let's read Psalm 100. Come on, read it with me. Will you do it? 1, 2, 3. Read. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. Come on, let's sing. not perfect hands, not sinless hands, but you told us to lift up holy hands. We worship the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. We worship the King, the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ. We worship the Lion and the Lamb. Father, we're asking today that you'd renew us, revive us, restore us in your very presence today. Would you transform us, O God, from glory to glory? We want to be more like you. And you told us as we behold you, we are transformed, we're changed. Change our minds, change our attitudes. Change our desires, change our motives and our ambitions, O God. Let us end the year and begin a new year more like Jesus, Father. You for 3.5 years, these disciples. Only 3.5 years, and their lives changed the world. God, I've been following you for over 40 years. I want my life to change. I want my life to be more impactful to this generation. I want to be more like you in my marriage. I want to be more like you in my fatherhood. I want to be more like you in the community, more like you in business, more like you in my prayer life, more like you in my kindness and generosity. I want to be more like you. Go ahead and be seated for a minute. You've received those communion elements. We'll be taking those in just the next few seconds. Anybody in the room beside me want to be more like Jesus? I believe you do. You know, I think that we've got this snow globe, sterile environment, Christmas nativity scene in our mind about how and where Jesus came into the earth. Kimberly loves to watch, as some of you women do, and nothing wrong with it, but all the Hallmark Christmas movie channels, all the movies, they all have the very same plot. Same plot, same outcome. And I think that we think that when Jesus came in the earth, I mean, we read the story, but we think that it's, you know, everything was okay. Listen to me. Everything in the world was a mess. And when you read the story, this wasn't Jesus born into a thoroughbred stable in Kentucky where there's $10 million stallions breeding so they're, what's flowing through them will then breed the next stallion to race at the Kentucky Derby. Jesus was born in an awful, stinky, messy, stable manger. I think the reason, one of the reasons was, not only of course it was prophesied from Micah being in Bethlehem, but that Jesus did it so that he could identify with all the mess you've ever been in, listen to me, and that you're in right now. I think so many of us live in a constant state of mess that you can't even smell the mess anymore. This is just life. I'm always mad, always angry, always frustrated, always lashing out. Everybody's against me. Got a victim mentality, got an orphan spirit. Nobody loves me. You're in a mess. But the good news is that Jesus was born in a manger in a stable amongst smelly, stinking animals because he identifies with humanity's mess. And he doesn't scold you and he doesn't put you off. But what we're about to do, communion brings you to the one who has, will, and forever will clean up all your mess. Read a couple weeks ago that Jesus was with his disciples and he asked them this question. He said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? The question we were asking was that Jesus then said, who do the men say that I am? Well, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets, you know. But he said, who do you say that I am? So when we come to the communion, we come to this element, the elements that represent the body and the blood of Jesus. Who do you say that he is to you personally? Who is he to you right now? Is he Lord? Is he Messiah? Is he King? Is he ruling and reigning? And can he do that in your life? Or are you so enamored with the pain and the sorrow and telling everybody the mess that you're in that you don't even quite know if you want to get out of it? Listen to me, come to grips this morning that he is the one who will bring you out. As Peter was sinking after he walked on the water, Jesus reached and brought him up and brought him into the boat. Listen to me, Jesus will continually reach for you, but you must reach for him. Pilate then asked Jesus, or said this of Jesus, after the religious people in the crowd shouted, give me Barabbas, we want Barabbas to be released. And Pilate then asked the question, what do I do now with Jesus? Two questions asked before we come to communion. Who do you say he is? Then what are you going to do now? Are you going to go back to that sexual sin? Are you going back to that addiction? Are you going back to all those habits and longings and desires? Are you going back to just saying, this is just who I am? I can't change. So you're saying the body and the blood, the sacrifice of God becoming man, can't break the power of sin off your life? I'm telling you, it can. Said a couple weeks ago that Jesus was born and died in humility. From a stable to the cross, it exemplified a life of humility. Jesus lived, we found out, a life of servanthood constantly. And listen, if you kind of think this way, let me help you out. Jesus had a physical body just like you. For 3.5 years, every single person pulled on him, wanted his attention, wanted his time. Listen to me, Jesus was physically exhausted at times. yet he constantly laid down his life, continually served people. So the question I constantly ask myself, what won't you do? With that, we found out that Jesus demonstrated sacrifice. He left heaven, became human like us, and there is absolutely no way that we can fully imagine and understand that. Always had been, always will be, God eternal, eternally from the past, knows every single thing that's ever been known, never been made, ever been thought of, knows every single person, past, present, and future. Yet he left heaven, left the sinless place, left the perfect place, and came into this mess called earth that he made, not in the mess, but because of man's transgression and sin. And that nature has been passed down to all of us. We're all born into this place in utter and complete sin and separation. I've got a new grandson, our sixth grandchild, Mac, living with our son and daughter-in-law and other two kids in Las Vegas. He's about 10 weeks old or something, or 8 weeks old, whatever, how old he is. And he's just now, we got a picture yesterday, and the little kid, he's starting to smile, got big dimples like his mom, cute, looks like his grandpa, just is amazing. Doesn't look like me at all, thank God. But listen to me, that little kid sitting on the couch, got cute, you know, all y'all's pictures, all your cute little matching jammies. But here's a 10-week-old, listen to me, that's lost. Lost. The nature of sin is in him, and he must be born again to receive the inheritance of his Father God and walk in newness of life. All of us, whether you've done it before, and maybe today's your first day in church, maybe coming back to church, listen to me. Communion brings us back, not where our works and anything we could do could ever make us right with God, because it's impossible. But we're saying, I believe in the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the cross, and the power of the blood. Come on, anybody say amen to that? Come on. So what do we do in response to him? Couple thoughts. Number one, choose to live a humble, lowly, meek life. I choose to. I'm not going to be proud. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to be high-minded. I'm not going to think I got here on my own. I'm going to choose to live humble with my spouse, with my kids, with my coworkers, in my church, in the community. I'm going to choose to look for ways to minister as Jesus did, the heart of a servant. I choose that right now. Maybe you're looking with your hand out all the time to receive something. How about this year? You end the year saying, I'm going to be a giver, more of a giver this year. And if you're in great need, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to flip the script a little bit. I'm going to be a blesser to other people. I'm going to serve other people. And then I'm going to look for ways, just lastly, in sacrifice, to lay my life down. Lay my life down. You can't save yourself. You can't do anything that would make you right with God based on any works or anything you can do. It's only by the blood of Jesus, only by the sacrifice of Jesus. Perfection took on humanity, and perfection went to the cross so the imperfect could be made perfect in his sight, holy in his sight, without the sense of sin, shame, guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. So he says, come to the table. He says this, as often as you eat this bread and drink this juice, you do it in remembrance of me. You do it in remembrance of me. Remembrance means this, we actively call to mind. We said it earlier. We actively call to mind. Do this in remembrance. Don't do this as a ritual. Don't do this because I've done it before. I'm doing this and I'm actively calling to mind who he is, what he's done, the power to forgive me. If there's anything in your life where you know I'm not pleasing God, I've sinned, I've done something, said something, I'm in the middle of something right now. Listen to me. Before you come to the table, the scripture says, judge yourself. Judge yourself, that sin. I'm confessing that. I'm asking you to forgive me. I've missed the mark. I'm saying, Lord, help me today get rid of that. I renounce that in my life. And I'm coming to this table, and I'm asking that by the power of your blood, by the power of your body, by the power of your name, that you cleanse me, wash me, restore me, and deliver me. Can I get an amen in the room? Listen. A lot of us have been raised in church, and we come to the communion table, and it's just like taking your key in the morning or your fob or whatever, and you just start the car. You don't even think about it. You just do it, and there it is. Don't do that right now. Actively call to mind who He is, what He's done for you. Remember and anticipate the new year. What's coming? Come on, what's happening in your life? Can I tell you what's happening? Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Come on, everybody. Come on. Goodness and mercy. Come on, church. Goodness and mercy. Come on. Goodness and mercy. The favor of God. The blessing of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God coming in your life in a new way. And for many in the room, one of the beautiful parts of communion is this twofold, two-sided coin. Forgiveness of our sins, we know from Isaiah 53, and also healing of our bodies. Surely He bore, lifted, removed, and carried your sickness and your pain. And by His stripes, you have the ability to receive supernatural health and healing. Listen, there's power, there's restoring power for your body in communion. He was wounded for you. He was bruised for you. He was marred more than any man for you, so you could walk in wholeness in your physical body. Maybe you've got an imbalance in your brain, chemical imbalance. He can heal it. Maybe you've got heart issues. He can heal it. Maybe you've got things going on, ringing in your ears. He can heal it. Maybe your bones are needing some strength. He can heal it. Come on, won't you stand with me? Go ahead and get your elements and open them. Thank you. Thank you. Guys that are at home, online, why don't you grab a piece of bread, get some juice. In the family lounge, if there's anybody in the family lounge, maybe an usher can help out anybody over there, see if there is. The scripture says, on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, listen to me, the very same night the betrayal of Judas was happening, He did this with His disciples. In the middle of your pain, in the middle of your sorrow, in the middle of your uncertainty, Jesus says, I've been there. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like when everybody's left you, as they did when He was on the cross. I know what it means to be alone and still knowing I gotta fulfill the will of God. You could be alone in a marriage, alone in a career, alone in a community. God says, I've been there. But the power of the blood of the body of Jesus, listen to me, brings you in unity and harmony with Him, where you can realize you're never alone. You're never alone. You have a family, you have a Father called God who will always love you, never forsake you. You can draw near to Him. He said, I'll draw near to you as you draw near to me. He'll never cast you out. He'll never say, what are you doing here? What do you want me for? Open arms. Communion is about the openness of God for you in your life. So come on, let's hold up the bread. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you. You're the head of our life. Come on, just tell him, you're the head of my life. I'm the body. You're the head. Lead me, guide me, direct me today. I receive strength. I receive health. I receive nourishment in my body. Lead me, guide me, direct me this year. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for delivering me in Jesus' name. Come on, partake together. Come on, just hold up the cup there. Come on, thank God for the blood. Come on, thank God for the blood. Not with the blood of goats or bulls or any other such thing. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Spotless, pure, holy blood. Come on, everybody. This is working in you right now. Come on. This is a blood transfusion working in you right now. Bringing the very life of God, awareness of it in your life today, in your health today, in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. We've got a good friend whose grandson about 4 or 5 years ago was diagnosed with some kind of childhood awful situation. I don't know what the disease was, some kind of cancer in his blood, I think. And the family began praying and crying out to God, and they've got him on all the best medicine and medical things, and they had to find a donor. It was in his, whatever the cancer, the bone, I think, had gotten his bones, and it was just awful, and it was, they had to find a donor. He's a twin. His name's Dylan. He's got a twin sister, and he's got 3 older brothers, and they found that one of the older brothers was a perfect match. And so they took all the blood out of the older brother, the bone marrow, what all that, and put it in the son that was sick. And the doctor said this to him: from now on, your DNA will be completely changed. You are no longer the old Dylan. You are going to be the same DNA as your older brother. If he is arrested for a crime, they will come arrest you. You have the very same DNA. This means we have the DNA of Jesus Christ in our life. Strength, wholeness, purity, godliness. Come on, thank God for the blood. Come on, thank God for the blood. We're forgiven. Let's partake together. Ushers will come down. I think we've got some buckets. Maybe pass them out on the outside. The ushers will grab those. If you'll take those communion elements and pass them on the outside, our ushers will come and they will get all that right now. I was raised in a denominational church when I was a kid, and the choir sang, and the old sister would play the organ, and there was really no exuberance, there was really no praise, there was really no excitement, there was really nobody lifting hands, there was really only a few senior saints singing, everybody else was milling around, just kind of, you know, not paying much attention. And when I began learning about the power of praise and worship that I want to share with you for about 4 or 5 minutes, and we're just going to sing a few more songs, and I want to just bring an awareness of what happens every Sunday, what just happened off and on for the songs that we sang this morning. If you need to sit down just because of strength, go ahead and be seated, but if not, go ahead and stand with me. I've been standing with you all morning. Praise and worship has the power to bring you in the very presence of God. Where you no longer dwell on your problems and all the things that aren't going right in your life. It brings an awareness in His presence of who He is and His power to work out all things together for good. If you're feeling distant, if you're feeling unworthy, if you're feeling unheard, you need to praise and worship God. Let me just give you a line on the screen. You need to praise God until the vision of your future changes. If you're looking into 2025, going, it looks dark, it looks distant, it looks like it's going to be just like this year and like the last decade or three decades. You need to make a resolve that you're going to praise and worship God as you begin a new year until the vision of your future changes. Otherwise, you are going to replicate what you had last year. And I don't think anybody wants to. But somebody said this, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Are you happy with where you're at right now? Or a moment ago, I'm standing here and I'm just surrendering. I'm asking God, just a moment ago, God, I want to give you more this year. More of me. Psalm 143 verse 6 says this, I spread out and lift up my hands to you in prayer. My soul waits and longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land. The earth, your job, money, sexual relationships, shaming people online or scrolling endlessly through Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp or TikTok. It's not going to bring you any happiness. It's going to bring dryness and a thirst in your life that only God can satisfy. And so the psalmist says, God, I'm going to lift up and lift out my hands to you in prayer. I'm saying today, as I enter a year and begin a new year, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. I need you. I'm in a dry land that never will satisfy me. You're looking for relationships in a guy, some of you girls, that can never satisfy you. Some of you guys are looking for girls that are going to be that person. They're never going to be able to satisfy you until you find your satisfaction and wholeness in who He is for you. You'll continue thirst and continue hunger and go from bed to bed, from job to job, from relationship to relationship until you turn your devotion and attention to Him. He's the only one who can satisfy you. Someone said this, that the highest form of prayer is worship. I don't know how to pray. Can you worship? Can you worship? Sure you can. You don't have to be the greatest prayer, but let me tell you what, everybody can choose to be the greatest worshiper. Amen. Where your voice and your hands and your heart and your mind and your will connects with who God is and what He's done for you. We said this a couple weeks ago, that we give Him our admiration. We give Him our admiration. We respect, we esteem, we honor Him. We give Him our attention, our attention. We don't serve anything else. We don't desire or seek the interest of anything else, any false idols like they would say in the Old Testament. And we give Him our adoration, my heart, my soul, in devotion to Him. I surrender my spirit, my soul, my body. We've read this so many times, and forgive me, it's a scripture. There's got to be some key scriptures that you keep coming back to in your life that will ground you. This one grounds me continually because Jesus spoke about it in Matthew chapter 21 or chapter 22. I can't remember what it was, what chapter. But in Psalms chapter 8, verse 2, David writes this, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you, God, have ordained strength. Jesus used that word, and He flipped the word. He didn't say ordained strength. He said in the New Testament, you perfected praise. because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Look at it again, stare it down. Don't miss the scripture. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, young spiritually. You just got born again last week. You maybe don't even read the Bible. Young. You love God, but you don't know him that well. But out of your mouth, God's given you a weapon. It's called, he's given you the ability that will ordain strength in your life called praise. Amen. Because, listen to me, you have an enemy. That your enemy would be silenced and your enemy would be stopped. Listen to me. Your praise brings your victory. Amen. Listen to me. Your praise brings your victory. Listen, nobody can do this for you. The psalmist said, and Jesus picked this up in Matthew. He said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because you've got an enemy, that your enemy will be silenced and the avenger in your life will be stopped. So listen to me. It is a big thing when we gather together and we all lift our hands and sing. It is a big thing when you're at home and you're in your car and you're singing worship to the Lord. It is a big thing. And I'll tell you that in just a moment, why it's so huge, with giving you a natural example. But listen to me. Someone said this, that when you praise and you worship God, God comes right down to your address. Listen to me. God never gets confused with who's praising him. Come on, everybody. Praise is a tool that silences every demonic voice. So that tells me, listen to me, if the voice is still there, you need to praise and worship God more. If praise and worship will silence the enemy and the avenger, silence him, and I'm still hearing him, I just need to direct my praise and my attention to God and say, thank you, Lord, you're good. Thank you, Father, you're working in me. Thank you, Lord, you defeated the devil for me. Come on, everybody. Thank you that you're working on my behalf right now. But if I'm hearing the lies, I need to praise God just a little bit more. We're going to sing a couple songs. Band, come on up here if we'd you do it. We're going to sing two more songs. I'm going to ask that maybe if you're in the room and you're just saying, man, I kind of feel like I'm a racehorse at the track and the gates are closed. Come on, you've seen those at the Kentucky Derby and they're just getting ready to go. And you're just saying, I wish somebody would just get me out. And maybe you want to come out of your chair and worship and praise God down here. I'm going to invite everybody to come down here and worship God or fill the aisles, whatever God's speaking to you. Listen to me before we sing a couple songs. There was a study done of violence in prisons. The study was first done about violence in society, and the author then directed his attention in a couple chapters in the book about violence in prisons. And so he was actually studying the cues and the triggers on why or when the violence happened. So a warden actually sat down with the researcher of the study, and the warden showed this researcher photos of gang members training other gang members a series of fake aerial stabs and attacks. Fake, but the action. And the guy asked him, the researcher said, what are they doing? The warden then showed the researcher other footage of a riot in the yard without any serious violence to the officers in the yard. And he said, what do you see? And he said, I don't know, you got to tell me. So here was the backstory. He told him this. He said the prison guards were all outfitted with new Kevlar armor and vests. And the gangs in the riot, where no violence occurred, were assaulting the guards, but they weren't hurting them. What they were doing was they were measuring them out where there could be openings in the armor to attack them at a later date. They faked a riot, no violence going on. The guards come in with their new Kevlar on that the prisoners hadn't seen yet, but heard about. And then they came and measured where they would stab and bring injury to the guards. They went back to their jail cells in the open yards, and they began watching the prisoners and the gang, teaching each other exactly where the weakness in the armor was. When you praise and worship God, the God who knows Satan and every tactic of demonic forces, goes before you and stops every attack and strategy of the devil before it even happens. Come on, everybody. Why do I praise him? Because I don't know what's coming. Come on, I don't know what's coming. But my praise can go before me. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. My praise goes before me and protects me and my family and you. Come on. It's a guard. It's a protection. It's a shield. So come on. I don't know. Listen, I don't know what the devil's up to, but there's nothing that my God can't do. Come on. Come on, everybody. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He hedges us in. So come on, we're going to sing a couple more songs. This is going to be your time to press in. If you want to come up here and worship at the front, you come on right now. Times, when you get to the seventh time, blow a trumpet and shout unto the Lord. Come on, everybody. I don't got a trumpet this morning, but I got a trumpet in my lungs. Come on, we just praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Those words defeated an enemy because there's power in your praise. It's so simple. It's just so simple. Everything God does is not hard. But tell you the hard part is to break your will. It's to break your natural understanding. It don't matter. It's just like singing R&B from the 80s. It's just like singing Kool and the Gang. Come on now. We're talking about singing to the Lord, who has the power to deliver you from all your enemies. Amen. Amen. Wow, come on, clap your hands. What a great Sunday, what a great Sunday, what a great Sunday. Year-end praise party. Now you can tell all your friends, I've been to a year-end praise party. I'm sure they want to know. Year-end praise party. We're going to have our prayer partners up here. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do in your life is surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You're never going to get any closer to God, but to the level of your surrender. He's constantly there waiting for me and you to bow the knee. The first bowing of the knee is asking him to be the Lord of my life, repenting of my sin, turning toward him. And from then, that will progress into a continuum of him asking me to bow my knee and you as well. We'd love to introduce you to the person that changed my life and so many people's lives in the room today, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We count it an honor and privilege to pray for you, pray with you. Our prayer partners will be up here again in a moment. We can pray with you about anything that you are facing right now, that you know you praise God and worship God, but I mean, prayer is powerful as well. So we can pray with some people and say, I need some prayer. Can you help me pray? I got something coming up this next week or at the end of the year, looking at next year, and I just want some prayer. prayer support. We count it again an honor and privilege to pray with you about those things as well. So listen to me. We just finished the year strong. We're going to go into 2025 strong with fasting and prayer. So be thinking about, listen to me. I've already made up my mind. I'm not going to Costco. And I ain't going down to chip aisle. Because I've already got a thing going on. So I'm asking you, with fasting and prayer, prayer and fasting, excuse me. Well, I always want to say prayer and fasting first, because we want to pray, not just fast. Prayer and fasting. I want you, please, to ask God, what does my fast look like? Can I skip a meal a day and direct that to you? Can I cut back, take meat off the table for 10 days and just eat vegetables and fruits and things like the Daniel fast? What can I do? Can I skip a whole day? I want you to ask God and let God, by the Holy Spirit, speak to you about what your fast looks like, because we all will be doing something different. And God's going to meet you. Don't be afraid. God's going to meet you. Now, if you hear, don't eat and don't drink any water for 10 days, that's not God, because you need water. Come on, everybody. Now I'm just watching guys walk by me outside, and they're bringing donuts. I don't know what the heck we did this morning. We did donuts on the last Sunday. Okay, so it's a praise party. So we got donuts. So this is your last time to eat sweets until next week. So, all right, listen. We love you. You did good, Amy. You did good. Amy said, I didn't know. No, it's all right. Come on. We love you. We appreciate you. 2025 is going to be an amazing year. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Amen, 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 amen.